It's great to be here today on a day when we're particularly focusing on being thankful. And as John's reminded us, today is Mothering Sunday, and in a few moments, young people will be coming back in to tell us specifically what they're thankful to God for their mums for. But we like on this side of the Atlantic at least to draw some distinction between Mother's Day and Mothering Sunday, because whilst not every one of us can be a mother, every one of us is the reason why we've got a mum. Think about it. My mum wouldn't be a mum without me, that's for sure. And it works both ways, doesn't it? And we ought to be thankful for motherhood, because the chances are that more than anyone else in our life, it was our mum who first taught us to say thanks. Would that be true? That would be true. That's good, isn't it? And so whilst for me, and maybe for one or two of you here too, knowing God's will for our life in some cases is not always an easy exercise to know, is it? At least in this we can give thanks, knowing that without doubt it is God's will for us to give thanks. Isn't that encouraging? I don't know what else you might be struggling with in terms of trying to discern what God's will is for your life in certain areas. But for here, for sure, we can be certain, as Paul tells us in this letter to the Thessalonians, give thanks to God in all circumstances. I need to move that one on a bit, don't I? Give thanks to God in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So every one of us ought to be a thankful person. Amen? Not just because it's a nicety. I mean, it is a nicety, but more especially because it's an absolute necessity. So to go back to this particular fella, some of you will know it's Rudyard Kipling, not least because it says so up there. But have any of you ever read his poem If? Any of you ever read the book Jungle Book? You know, these were great works, and we still recognize them and celebrate them today. And his works were so popular in his day that some of you will know he became a very, very rich man. And one reporter calculated that for every word that Rudyard Kipling wrote, it was worth £50. Now, you go back to when he lived, £50 was a lot of money then. You know, might buy you a Mars bar and a can of Coke at the service station in the motorway these days. But £50 back then, a lot of money. And so this reporter went and found him, and he said to Kipling, he said, "Do you know," he said, "every word that you write is worth £50. And he pulled out a £50 note from his pocket. He gave it to Kipling. He said, "Now give us one of your £50 words." And Kipling famously looked at the £50 note, put it in his pocket and said, "Thanks." That's great, isn't it? But you know, when I thought about that, thanks is more than a £50 word, isn't it? To me, it's $1 million word. £1 million word. You know, it's right up there with some of the best words that we can know in the human language. It is one, I would say, of God's holy words. And I looked up in my Bible concordance, because I haven't got enough time in the week to work it out for myself, but apparently in any version of the Bible you choose, the words thank, thankful, and thankfulness are used at least 134 times. And you know, when God uses a word that often and makes comment on it that much, or gives commands regarding it 134 times, do you know what that suggests to me? It suggests to me that he's serious about us giving thanks, and we ought to become serious about being thankful too. I don't think God intends for us to forget that we ought to be thankful. For remember, as our verse says, and what a great verse it is today for us to focus on just for a few minutes, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. Let's not sit there thinking this is great for the person sitting next to me or in front or behind, because we know that God loves to speak that way, don't we? What a great message for that person. If only so-and-so had been here today, would have been the right message for them. You know, but this is a message for my heart, And this is a message for us all this morning, because to link it with where we are in our Sensing Our Savior series, this is Thanksgiving in the Spirit, because it's set in the immediate context of what we read together and what Paul calls not putting out the Spirit's fire. Don't want to put out the Spirit's fire. Is it possible for us to be thankful in all circumstances? No, not naturally. It's not, is it? But you see, what have we been learning for the whole year? That the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. So what is not possible for me in the natural becomes eminently possible in the supernatural, because the very Spirit of God who commands me to be thankful empowers me to have a thankful heart. Now, of course, this side of the Atlantic, we don't have a Thanksgiving Day, but in America they do. And in 1789, George Washington declared that Americans on the fourth Thursday of every November ought to have a Thanksgiving Day. But God's word declares that every day ought to be a Thanksgiving Day. And so here is our thought to treasure. God gives us a new nature and His Spirit to build a heart of thanksgiving inside of us. Don't you want a heart of thanksgiving inside of you? Yes, we do, Sean. Thank you very much. You know, I want a heart of thanksgiving. I want to be known as someone who's grateful for what God has blessed them with. It's not always natural for a child to thank their mother. And every mum knows that. It's not always commonplace for a student to thank their teacher. It's probably totally unheard of losing football fans to thank a referee. And it may not be popular for the populace to thank its politicians. But the overflow of a Spirit-filled life, says Paul, as he says it to the Ephesians, is to always give thanks to God for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So remember, it's Him that lives in you to empower you to be thankful. Thanksgiving in the Spirit. And there's our theme for Mothering Sunday. So I thought, how do I share this very quickly? Well, let me try and share it in a way that mothers might instruct their children to be thankful. And the first thing is this. What do you say? Isn't that a way a mum works? When a child's given something, you know, what do you say? You know, you mums, you've done all of that, haven't you? What do you say? You go out for a drink. What do you say? You know, we hear it a lot on Wednesday evening at the Wacky Wednesday and Wild Wild Wednesday clubs. You know, when they go up for their drink and their biscuit. What do you say? What do you say? They all know what to say. They just need reminding once or twice to be able to say it. But this is what Paul says. What do you say? And what is that telling us? Well, to put it for us, it's saying this. Giving thanks is to be expressed. What do you say? Thank you. Giving thanks is to be expressed. Because, as Paul says, and this is a command, it's not a suggestion. It's an obligation, it's not an option. Give thanks. As much as we ought to give cheerfully, as much as we ought to love graciously, as much as we ought to worship faithfully, we are, says Paul, to thank continually. Our thanks should be expressed. And it's great that with that command comes the power, because God gives it not to deflate us, not to defeat us, but to delight us, to know that what we wouldn't naturally be able to do, He blesses us with the ability to do. Oh Lord, give me a thankful heart. I mean, is there anything that stings the heart of a parent more than a child that is less than grateful for what their parent has done for them? William Shakespeare wrote, "How sharper than a serpent's tooth it is to have a thankless child." Now you can receive that as a mum or dad, or you can hear it from God's perspective. John Milton, when he went blind, passed this comment: "He that is ungrateful has no guilt but one. All other crimes may pass for virtues in him." And if you're like me, I didn't understand that for a long time. So I worked it out. And I think what he's trying to say is this, and my English teacher would love this: every other fault in a person is a virtue compared to the vice of being ungrateful. I think that's what he's saying. Somebody said this: the thief may have some streaks of honesty in them. The deadbeat, spots of honour. The liar, hours when they may love the truth. The libertine, occasions when their impulses are pure. But there is nothing redemptive in the ingrate. Do we not need to have a heart full of the Holy Spirit so the overflow of thankfulness comes out of us in the way that we express it and live it and enjoy it in the Lord Jesus Christ? Give me a thankful heart. Isn't that what we want to encourage our children to do? Isn't that what God is here to encourage us to do? Do you enjoy it? Are you thankful? Do you know that your life is in the Lord so that you can be thankful? You know, my life as a whole life disciple of Jesus Christ, sensing him as my Savior, enjoying the fact that by his Spirit he lives in me, should be expressed each moment of my day in thankfulness to him. For I don't think I'm any more like a person who doesn't know Christ than when I am less for thankful for who God has given me in Christ. The Bible says, "He who did not spare his only Son, but gave him up for us, how will he not now give us all things?" When God has given us his very best, what's he going to hold back? What's he going to hold back? Nothing. But we need to be thankful for it. You ever thank the person that led you to faith in Christ? You ever thank the Sunday school teacher who so faithfully taught you the Word of God when you were right pain in his neck or her neck? You ever thanked your mother and father for loving you and giving you a good home? Not just once, but continually. You know? You remember the man who told his wife he loved her when they first got married, and after their 50th wedding anniversary, somebody said, "How often do you tell your wife you love her?" And he said, "Well, I told her when we got married, and I said that I'd tell her something different if it ever changed." Well, folks, sometimes there are things that cannot go without saying. They cannot go without saying. And I think it's better to say thank you if we don't mean it than to mean it and not say it. Thankfulness cannot go without saying. It must be expressed. And then, more than that, when do you say it? I mean, isn't this something else a good mum will instruct her children in with regard to being thankful? Not just the need to say it, but the necessity of saying it. Folks, even when we don't feel like saying it, isn't that the rub? Which also then leads us to the thought, therefore, that giving thanks is to be expansive. It's not just something we do when we feel like it, but also more tellingly, more importantly, when we don't feel like it. When you come in on a Sunday, you know, do you always feel ready and lifted up to worship? I'll take the silence as a no. No. Sometimes we come in different states of mind. We've had different kinds of weeks, haven't we? But whatever we've gone through, God is still good. And he's still worthy to be praised. And we ought to be thankful because it is expansive, whether we feel like it or not. I mean, have you ever had to write a thank you letter when you were a boy or a girl after Christmas for a gift that some well-meaning relative had sent you, but which bore no relationship at all to where you were in life? Socks, soap, deodorant as a kid, honestly. My little grandson, 4 years, Noah, 4 years of age, he said to Kathy and I last night, he said, "For my birthday this year, Nan and Grandad, no clothes." No clothes. So we know where he's coming from, but we've all had to do it. I remember one aunt, I'm not sure if it's an aunt or a great aunt, probably a great aunt, who used to kiss me as a boy with heavy lipstick on. And I was expected to thank her for the blessing of it. Which I always felt was like saying thank you to a wasp when it had just stung you. You know? But it's there. And the point is, it had to be done. And that's what Paul's talking about here. Whether we feel like it or not, giving thanks is to be expansive. It is. Did you notice? We put it up. In all circumstances. Isn't that awful that God would put it like that? I mean, I could cope, couldn't you, if he'd have put in most circumstances? Because I could have used that as an excuse. If I was anything less than thankful, I would say, well, that's one of those most times. But much to my annoyance, God says, in all circumstances. And folks, it's not me that's saying this, it's him. It's him. Again, because it's impossible in the natural, but it's quite natural in the supernatural. To express the very heart of an expansive thankfulness. Anyone can thank God for good times. But have we the faith to be able to look through and beyond what we're going through and thank God for what he's able to bring out of it? It's not always easy, is it? And I say it looks like it's bad because we don't always know what's good or bad when we're going through it, do we? So when Joseph was thrown in that pit out of jealousy by his brothers, if you'd have asked him, do you think that's a good day, Joseph? Oh, it's a terrible, I'm having a bad day. Turned out to be not only one of the best days of his life, but through what happened to him being thrown into the pit, turned out to be the best day in the life of the nation of Israel. Because without Joseph being put in the pit, he'd have never got to Egypt. Without being in Egypt, he'd never become prime minister. Without being prime minister, he'd never been in charge of the resources that saved Israel from being hit by tremendous famine. Sometimes we don't know what's good or bad, do we? When they said my feet were flat and I couldn't go in the police, I thought it was the worst day of my life. But for those flat feet, I wouldn't be here this morning. And you're not sure whether that's good or bad, are you? Hey, that's for you to figure out. But I know what God is saying about it. What about doing the dishes, you know, when you're a kid? Is that good or bad? You remember that little ditty, thank God for dirty dishes. They have a tale to tell. While others may go hungry, we've clearly eaten well. With home and health and happiness, I shouldn't want to fuss. But the stack of evidence before me means that God's been good to us. Isn't that incredible? I think so. It's an amazing thing. I think there's 30 people, they were telling us this week, 30 people who die of hunger every minute of every day, 30 people die of hunger. So when you get a stack of dirty dishes ahead of you, you might recognize just how good God has been to you. Abba sang thank you for the music. Bob Hope would finish by saying thanks for the memories. Any of you remember Bob Hope? Nobody's going to admit it. Valerie Trierweiler ended her relationship with French President Francois Hollande with thank you for the moment. And we're here together today saying thank you for motherhood. But the Christian knows that giving thanks is expansive. And we can thank God in all circumstances for everything, because even when we're in the midst of difficulty and going through trial and tribulation, thank God he is going through it with us. Amen. Because the great promise of Scripture is, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Oh, thankfulness ought to be expansive. I think that's an encouragement to all of us, whether we're going through the blessings of life or we're going through the burdens of life, please God, we never forget the benefits of life that we're blessed with in Jesus Christ. The psalmist says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Sometimes we just don't know how blessed we are, do we? with God's common grace. If you've ever done the tour of Bath, I don't know if any of you have ever done the tour of Bath, you know that there were many houses in Bath from the 18th century still with their windows bricked up. And why? To escape the window tax. Imagine that. Paying a tax on sunlight. It's incredible to think about it now. Parking charges are bad enough, aren't they? Speeding fines can almost be justified, you know, when the police want to raise plenty more speed cameras. But paying for sunlight, can you believe that? Aren't you glad that you didn't have to pay taxes today on sunlight? When I think about the cost of electricity, I shudder to think what would happen if God started charging for sunlight, don't you? Wouldn't you think that? One poet said it like this: how good, and it's talking of common grace. These are things that God blesses us all with, whether we love him, live for him, or not. How good it is that God above has never gone on strike because he was not treated fair and things he didn't like. If only once he'd given up and said, that's enough, I'm through, I've had enough of those on earth, so this is what I'll do. I'll give my orders to the sun, turn off the heat supply, and to the moon give no more light and run the oceans dry. Then just to make things real tough and put the pressure on, I'll turn off the vital oxygen till every breath is gone. God could do that, could he not? But he loves us. He made us. And he blesses us with things that we so often take for granted. And we need to remember, even when we're going through difficult times, that God is good. And sometimes we'll be allowed to go through a difficult time just to learn to be thankful for when we're going through a good time. As I discovered last week with a bout of gout. That when you're my age and you don't drink and you get gout, it's quite humorous for so many people. But it taught me to be thankful for the fact that this Sunday, at least, I can walk. Some of you said to me last week, you weren't walking around too much. Well, that was the reason why. But here's the thing. What if you woke up today with only the things you thanked God for yesterday? I think that's quite challenging. He gives us so much, and we ought to be thankful, because thankfulness is expansive. Not just in terms of his common grace, folks, but listen, even more for his saving grace. Amen? Where would we be if God had not given to us his Son that we might find our forgiveness and our life in him? What a living Saviour, and what a glorious Lord. And I'm nearly through, and here's the last thing, and we'll bring the kids back in. I think another way that mothers try and teach their children about thankfulness is ultimately when they say, why do you say it? Why do you say it? And of course, you know, the message that's trying to get across here is because being thankful is the right thing to do, isn't it? You know, it is the right thing to do. Somebody blesses you with something, you ought to be glad about it, which of course means, therefore, that giving thanks is to be expected. Because it brings us full circle to where we came in, because Paul concludes this verse, this is the will of God for us in Christ Jesus. Giving thanks is to be expected because it's what God wants from us. It's the right thing to do. It's his will for us. And of course, on top of that, what does it prove? It proves that you're a growing Christian. That you're maturing. Because the one thing a baby has not got the ability or the heart to do is to be thankful, is it? So, yeah, you don't blame a baby for it, do you? Remember our son, he had colic when he was young. Kathy and I used to spend hours walking up and down with the little fella, blessing him, encouraging him, trying to settle him down, get him off to sleep. And when eventually we did, you know, did he ever look up at us and say, oh, thanks, Dad, that was really appreciated? Not once. Not once. But we didn't call him ungrateful because he was a baby. But a growing Christian, those who know that thanks is expected, have a heart to praise God for what they have and what they've been gifted. When we're less than truly thankful, Do we not give our age away? We may have a body of an athlete and the mind of an Einstein, but without a thankful heart, we got the soul of a pygmy. Giving thanks is to be expected because it's a mark of a growing Christian. It's a mark of a giving Christian. Who can hold back on giving in light of what God has given us? How? James says every good and perfect gift is from above and it comes down from the Father of lights. So if we're a grateful Christian, we can't help but be a giving Christian. Because if thanksgiving is to truly be thanksgiving, then first, what is it? It's thanks. And then it's giving. Wow, that's hardly rocket science. We can give without being thankful, but we can never truly be thankful without giving. It's a natural overflow of the Spirit who lives in us. And when we give, we're saying to the Lord, this is expected, but I'm expressing my heart of appreciation to you. And then giving thanks is to be expected, not because it just proves we're growing as a Christian and giving as a Christian, but I think it's also true, finally here, it's the mark of a glowing Christian, isn't it? That's what Paul says, you know, we give thanks, and he puts it in the immediate context of both joyfulness and prayerfulness. Be joyful always, he says, pray continually, give thanks. So somebody sent me this week, and I like this, they said, it is not happy people who are thankful, it is thankful people who are happy. So if you're sitting there thinking, oh, you know, I'm not joyful, I'm not prayerful, I'm not where I want to be in my walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, can I just ask you a simple question? Are you being thankful? Because the overflow of that will bring you to the place where if you were praying, it's where you really would want to be. The attitude of gratitude will change our life. It will shield you from cynicism. It will keep you from criticism. And it will protect you from pessimism. And better than all that, it will draw you close to God and it will draw God close to you. So if you're here this morning as I close and you don't know the Lord, then the best way to express your thankfulness is to come to know the Lord. Because he held not back his best from you in his Son and gave him to death on a cross that you might find life in him. And to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior is the big thank you of eternity. Isn't it? When you get to heaven, wow, the first 10,000 years you're going to be there. Just go and say, thank you. Thank you. Because it will suddenly hit you, if it hasn't already, just what God made possible in the sending and the suffering and the sacrificing of his Son. And if you do know the Lord, are you growing up in thankfulness? Are you giving in thankfulness? Are you glowing in thankfulness? Would somebody who really knows you say, well, if ever I saw a thankful person, it was them.